haven't even had to process what this is right now, what this monster looks like, what.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM.
Tune in to live music on the radio at WGXC. Thursday, November 19th at 8 p.m., Ben Manley performs Sound Over Time and Space on the Musical Ecologies performance series, live from the Old Stone House in Park Slope in Brooklyn, and on the radio from 8 to 10 p.m. at WGXC 90.7 FM and Wave Farm's Standing Wave Radio. Tune in to Ben Manley with Sound Over Time and Space, 8 o'clock, Thursday, November 19th on the radio at WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Brian Mulrenny. Brian was born in the city of Discovery, Dundee, Scotland. Brian held a host of jobs in his career, including an apprentice engineer, a toolmaker precision engineer with watch manufacturers Timex, a sales agent with Prudential Assurance Company, bank financial sales, which led to him becoming area manager in Glasgow, overseeing 13 bank branches and 113 staff, holding various management positions with Bupa Private Healthcare, sales director Bupa Dental Care, and owning his own private medical insurance brokerage called Essential Healthcare, which eventually had 9 employees. Brian later sold the business to French giants AXA after 8 years. More recently, Brian bought the executive shaving company in 2009 and has since grown that business to what it is now. In his private life, Brian is an ardent supporter of Glasgow Celtic and has owned a season ticket at Paradise since 2003. He owns an apartment in Spain where he vacations, and he loves eating out, reading, and going to the gym regularly. Brian has been married to Shona since 1979 and has two grown-up girls, Lucy, who is a corporate lawyer, and Holly, who is a project manager. Brian is proud to mention that both his daughters are now happily married. Brian has a boat on Loch Lomond and recently did the Scottish North Coast 500, or as it's known as, NC 500, a 500-mile road trip that is very popular in Scotland. Presently, Brian is now looking for his own motorhome that he can use to tour his favourite places. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I have to say, Andy, thanks for the intro, but I was born in 1957. I'm 63 now.
You don't look 63, mate. You look 62. But you must be working out at a gym because you're looking pretty good. I must admit, Brian. Now, you mentioned earlier my top I'm wearing. You're a good Tim, as they say, yeah?
I have been since birth, yeah. My dad's and dad before him, yeah.
So which part of the stadium do you have a season ticket?
I have a season ticket. I sit exactly opposite where the players come out.
So do you sit in the top tier or the bottom tier?
Or the posh bit, right in the middle.
Oh, right. Oh, they've got different coloured seats.
The different colour seats.
He gets his pie served to him at half time.
I do. I get a leather seat. And at one time, the seats were heated.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a season ticket for 5 years, and probably one of my Paradise Windfall aeroplanes maybe hit you in the top of the head because I was sitting right above you.
Okay.
Now, Brian, you're the founder, the owner of the Executive Shave Company.
I didn't found it. We bought it 11 years ago next month.
That's right, and out of Glasgow. And one of your shave brush series is called the Big Jock. Is that right?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Is that something related to Celtic?
It isn't. It isn't. My wife's father, his name was Jock, and he was a big guy. So he was a coal man. He delivered coal.
So he would hump, Coleman.
Jock the coal man. He would hump massive bags of coal on his back and carry them up tenement flats and all the rest of
wow.
it. So the brush was loosely named after Big Jock. But I know where you're coming from. Big Jock was also Celtic's legendary manager in the 60s and 70s, Jock Steen. But I suppose it's a tribute to both Jock Flight and Jock Steen.
Brilliant.
Cool.
And the little Jock, who's that named after?
Me, a wee Scotsman.
Any wee Scotsman you can find.
Oh, brilliant. Now, Brian, in this NC500, it's a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of, is it a particular car that you're driving or is it any car? Or?
People do it by bicycle, motorbike, car, caravan, Winnebago, I think you call them in America. We had a Winnebago, a motorhome. So we hired that for 8 days and it was amazing. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, but we absolutely loved it. So much so we're actively looking for our own one.
That's great. You know, actually, that's really taken off here in the United States, particularly with the COVID pandemic.
Same here.
You know. And people are, and so the sales are through the roof, and we have family that have purchased motorhomes and traveled, actually used it to travel across the country to avoid airports and rest stops and things. You have your own bathroom, you have your own bedroom, and
exactly.
So it's a great option and opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's something me and my girlfriend Julia want to do. We want to, it's something I've always wanted to do is travel across America and mm-hmm. you know, see Old Faithful and see the Grand Canyon and all that.
So, Brian, your first item that you would take on your Catskill cabin getaway is a Swiss Army knife. And these are manufactured by Victorinox. The term was actually coined by American soldiers after World War II due to the difficulty they had in pronouncing Offiziersmesser, which is the German officer's knife. So
yes.
Swiss Army's knife, that's the best I can do, sorry.
That's good. And, yeah, we take it. A customer gave me one as a gift. A guy called Andy Weir. Andy came in one time and he said, there's a present for you. And I was really happy, but I didn't realize just how useful it is. It's got everything. Scissors, a nail file, bottle opener, tin opener, three blades, two screwdrivers, all contained in this little thing that's about 3.5 inches long. And the quality is phenomenal. You know, the quality is the best steel. It's just a great tool. So if you're going to be in a cabin in upstate New York, especially in the winter, I would want my Swiss Army knife with me.
Now, in the original television series MacGyver, as well as its 2016 reboot, MacGyver frequently used a Swiss Army knife. In particular, in one episode, he fashioned a poison dart blowgun to save himself from some assailants. Here's a little bit of trivia for you, gentlemen. If you're MacGyver fans, which maybe you are, aren't, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
What was MacGyver's first name?
Frank.
Frank MacGyver. What do you say there, Andy?
Stevie.
Angus MacGyver. And fitting for you, gentlemen, it's sad, but I only just now realized that it's a Scottish name.
It is a Scottish name.
very Scottish name. But he was in the show embarrassed about his first name. So it went like this was a running thing for years where he would not say his first name.
Now, one thing that I remember our former guest and my good friend, George Patterson, he was on the show and he wanted to bring a Swiss Army knife. And he said, but no, the normal size one. See the big one you see advertised the store. He says, I want to bring that one. I can just see him. A big giant knife, you know.
I know the ones. The promotional
like a
ones.
A bear or something, you know.
This one has an attachment for a battery and it turns into a chainsaw. So, Brian, and your first song is Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
Love it. I heard it very early in the 70s. I was right into American soul music and Tamla Motown. But it was the lighter Tamla Motown, the Supremes and Stevie Wonder and people like that. But then I heard What's Going On, and it was almost life-changing. And to this day, I'll play that album more than any other album. It's just a phenomenal piece of music.
You think it's better than Let's Get It On?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's Get It On is a call to make love, isn't it? Nothing else. What's Going On is a social commentary, you know. It's
as
the whole album's social commentary. It was absolutely groundbreaking because Tamla hated it. The management at Tamla hated it. They told him to take a back.
That's right. They were scared in case he breached his crossover audience,
mm-hmm.
and alienated some people. Yeah, and it did the opposite. It brought everybody together and musically, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. gave him a number one in Grammys and all that. You know,
everything. He was such a good looking guy that they just saw him as a black pinup. You know, something that teenage girls, black or white, could put on their bedroom wall. Twin Marvin with Diana Ross and Kim Weston and Tammy Terrell, and just get them to do these lovey-dovey duets. And Marvin was having none of it. He said, no way, this is what I've wrote. I've spent a lot of time writing this, and it's heartfelt, and this is it. This is what's going out. And he fought them, and he won. They were very reluctant to put the album out, but it's still an all-time classic.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Punish me, sister, with brutality. Sister, talk to me, sister, so you can see. Sister, oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, judge us simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. Can't see what's going on.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
right?
That was What's Going On, Marvin Gaye. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today on the show, we have Brian Mulroney talking about the songs and items that he would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC.org is the place to go to make a donation, since WGXC is community radio. Please go to the website and make a donation or become a sustaining member today.
Now, Brian, your next item is a bottle of Rock Rose handcrafted Scottish gin.
Yep. Scottish gin.
Why that?
Scottish beers and Scottish gins. There's 110 Scottish gins, 60 distilleries, and I went in to see the guys at Rock Rose in September, when I did the North Coast 500. Nice people, young people, diligent, hardworking, eager to please, and their gin is as good as anything I've tasted.
Wow.
Fresh, and all made with local botanicals. So, yeah, these guys deserve to be successful. I liked them a lot.
Excellent. Do you know, I actually didn't realise until today that gin is actually flavoured vodka.
There you go.
But vodka is a different drink.
There's vodkas getting made in Scotland now as well. So I think because a lot of the foreign pickers that came to pick berries can no longer come now.
Right.
Because of Brexit. So the farmers are looking for other ways to make money.
So vodka, there's always a good point. There's always a good thing to a bad thing.
The only good thing.
More bevy in Glasgow.
Rock Rose, if you get the chance, Andy, Rock Rose gin.
Yeah.
Highly recommended, yeah.
Now, I've got something to share with you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that in the 17th century, gin became widespread after, now wait for it, William of Orange-led 1688 Glorious Revolution and subsequent import restrictions of French brandy. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no. And every day's a learning day.
Historian Angela McShane has described it as a Protestant drink. Now, there you are. I just stumbled across that when I was looking up gin. I found that quite amusing.
That's a good one, yeah.
Now,
drink. Okay.
I've got a quiz question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, at 43% of the global market, what country in the world is the biggest consumer of gin, according to the website I was looking at?
I would say France.
France. Mike, taking a guess.
I'll say England.
Philippines.
The Philippines.
No.
So yeah, that's one of the...
Philippines is the biggest consumer of gin.
Hmm.
Okay.
So there you are. Brian, do you know what the gimlet is?
No.
Mike, do you know what the gimlet is?
Isn't a gimlet like a glass?
No.
No?
It's gin mixed with lime juice to prevent scurvy, introduced by the Royal
Navy.
It's the gimlet. Now, Brian, your next song you would like to take with you is Radiohead, Creep.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard it, I watched MTV, and the censored version came on, the one without the F word. And even at that, I was just blown away by it. I thought, and I'd heard of Radiohead before. I knew Pablo, what was that other one? Pablo, whatever. And I knew that song, and then I heard this Creep, and wow, what is this? Just, again, it's something I play. I'll play Creep weekly at least and bore all my friends.
It's a good song, so.
It's a great song. It's like when you're a teenager and you think you're ugly and you maybe got a knockback from a girl and you think, I'm a creep, I'm a weirdo. There's so much angst coming out of that song. And I get where he's coming from. Yeah. just a great bit of music.
That was Creep by Radiohead. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Brian Mulroney, and we are discussing the songs and items that he would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Great selection there, Brian.
Thank you.
Takes me back to my personal teenage and early 20s angst. Mm-hmm. You know,
2 weeks ago?
Just a couple, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Creep.
But, you know, I'm reading up about Radiohead and listening to the music, and something struck me. That song was released in 1992, which is getting to be a longer and longer time ago. We're looking almost at, I can't even believe I'm saying this, 30 years I can't even.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Like, I have to do the math like a bunch of times in my head because it's like, it can't be 30 years ago. You know, it was maybe 5-10 years ago. So
when you get to 63, every song seems it was written 30, 40, or 50 years ago.
Oh. And so, Brian, you were able to hear Radiohead in concert.
Yeah, twice. Once outside in Glasgow and once in a big indoors arena. Yeah.
Cool. And in the song, people really enjoyed it.
Creep brought the house down. Yeah, they only played it once. They played it indoors, not outdoors. And people were waiting for it. Yeah.
Fantastic. I love when that happens, when you go see a band and there's a song that you just are dying to hear, then they play it, you know. And
yeah.
Great.
I once went to see Prince, and he was on for 3 hours, and he didn't play a single hit song.
Oh,
except one. But he was good. He was still superb.
Phenomenal guitarist.
Oh, what a guy! Yeah, I've seen Prince twice. The second time he played, I think I counted 8 different instruments, and he was genius on every single one. And the voice held up the whole night. Absolutely amazing concert.
Where did you see him?
I saw Prince once at the SEC and the second time also in Glasgow, but at the new indoors arena, the Hydro.
Right.
Big, massive.
What's the last gig you've been to, Brian? What was the last person you saw live?
Oh, I need to think about that one, Andy. I think a guy called possibly Gino Washington.
Gino Washington.
He was a soul singer in the 60s. I think Gino Washington might have been the last. No, I didn't. Ezra Collective. It's a young English band, jazz band, but modern, hippie.
Right.
Jazz stuff. I mean, it's good. Ezra Collective, look him up.
Ezra Collective, right.
Ezra Collective, yeah.
The last person I saw live was Peter Frampton.
No.
Acoustic in Kingston, New York.
Really?
The U-Pack.
Uh-huh.
It was great. Mike, who was the last band you saw?
I did go to see Garrison Keillor, and he's, you know, Prairie Home Companion, the News from Lake Wobegon. He's since retired, but it's sort of, he'll get together with local artists wherever he tours, and it's a lot of, like, folk music and storytelling and skits and things. We saw him in Western Massachusetts at Tanglewood. My family and wife and sister and brother-in-law went. But, you know, he's from Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, and he talks about these tough, harsh winters. But, you know, Brian, I think you would be suited to that because your next item is a Canada Goose jacket. And I wasn't.
My wife bought me one last Christmas. I'm always cold. And one of my daughters said, Dad, that's, she looked up, she says, that's Reynolds syndrome.
What?
And I go, Reynolds? It's like Reynolds, but it's Reynolds. So I Googled it, and I had all the symptoms. So I went to my doctor, and he said, look, it's just one of these things. It's really uncomfortable, but I can give you medication, but the side effects are anxiety, depression, and sleeplessness. And I thought, forget it. I'll put up with it.
Yeah, I'll put on a goose jacket.
What happens is, no, my body's warm, but my extremities freeze.
Interesting.
It's hereditary. One of my daughters has it. My mum had it. One of my sisters has it. And, you know, my hands could be white like a dead man, absolutely numb. And it might only be 10 degrees, 11 degrees outside. And I have no feeling in my feet or hands. But the jacket keeps me warm. And I thought, if I'm going to be in the Catskill Mountains, I want to be warm. So the Canada Goose comes with me.
Now, you're very wise, Brian.
Is it February or January? Last February or January, Mike and I went up to his Adirondack camp, and we got there, right?
Yeah.
I kid you not, Brian, it was -5.
Okay.
Fahrenheit.
Known British -5, American -5. So it was like -25 in Scottish weather.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time you breathed, the hairs in your nose froze. And we went in, and we twos were covered, you know, head to toe, mm-hmm. like Nanook of the North. And Mike just had previously set up a fire. All you had to do is put a match to it, and he got the fire going, and Mike made this big bowl of soup, and the two of us just sat there. We were coats on having soup at the fire. Remember that, Mike?
Yeah, it was great. And
it drives my wife crazy because she's always too hot, and I've got the heating on full. She's complaining about being too hot. I'm too cold. But despite that, we've been married since 1979, so I don't think it'll split us up.
Now, David Bowie,
Young Americans.
Your next song, Brian.
Yeah, 1975. I went to see Bowie in 73, and that was just mind-blowing. I remember it so well. I actually remember what I wore on the evening. It was a momentous day.
Don't tell us it was a goose jacket.
It was a momentous day. A parish priest died age 33. He was buried that day.
Wow.
So the priest was buried in the morning. In the afternoon, I sat my O-level metalwork.
Did you pass?
And then I think I got a D. No, I failed. I did fail. And in the evening, I went to see Bowie at the Caird Hall in Dundee with some friends.
Wow. Yeah. Now, was it what stage of his career was it at that time?
That was Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, that would have been excellent.
Ziggy Stardust, Aladdin Sane. So, I'd been to a few concerts before. I was 16 at the time, but nothing like that. And I've been a fan ever since. Every album, every single album, actually. But Young Americans track, you've got to remember, Andy, if you think back, he was at the peak of his power. 74, 75, and he'd been doing that glam rock stuff, heavy driving rock, dark rock, beautiful songwriting, and then suddenly switched to this blue-eyed soul singer.
Yeah, that's right.
And you think, I mean, that took real nerves, that took guts.
Absolutely. You know, that was
it. If that had floundered, that career was on the rocks. He'd be dead in 1975. You wouldn't have heard from him again, but...
Yeah. Yeah, he is a pioneer in that respect and taking chances and,
very brave.
You know, killing off characters and starting afresh and fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
I think the album's one of the great soul albums. He was a soul boy, you know, he knew his soul music.
That's right.
You knew, he was right into it. He knew all about the stuff, never mind the big stars like Aretha Franklin and Otis Redding. He knew the underground stuff as well.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do an authentic soul album, and he got some really great musicians and singers behind him. He controlled the whole thing. Luther Vandross sang backing vocals.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Luther Vandross. Ava Cherry was on backing singers as well. Great band behind him, and just churned out this album that to this day still stands the test of time.
Does and does. Now, can I ask you, before you go any further, what did you think of his 2016-17 album? Black Star.
It's my favourite Bowie album.
I thought it was phenomenal.
It grows on me. I was playing bits of it today, actually, in the drive home. Again, what he does is he's got a knack of picking the right musicians, and he gives them a lot of leeway. You know, if they think the track should flow a particular way or the guitar should... Well, there's no guitars on Black Star. It's a rock album without a single guitar on it. But if they think the horn should sound a certain way, he'll give them the leeway to do it. You know, you trust people. Mm-hmm. Okay. Give them a free hand. He'd be thinking, I'm 71. He's 25. He knows it better than I do.
Young American, all the way from Washington, her they die. Ain't you proud that you stuck our faces? Ain't there one damn song that can make me break down and cry?
That was David Bowie, Young Americans. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Brian Mulroney, and we're discussing the songs and items that he would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today.
Two Hogmanay is New Year's Eve in Scotland, and two Hogmanays ago we were in a pub and a bar for a meal and a few drinks, and we got a lock-in in the bar. They said, if you want to stay behind for the party, stay behind. So we did, and they put some tracks on, and everyone there was in their early mid-20s apart from four of us. And they said, Brian, what's your favourite song? What do you want on? And I thought, what about Young Americans? So we're all dancing. And the girl next to me, she'd be about 22, 23. She knew every single word. She sang the whole song, start to finish. And I said, Lily, how do you know? How come you know this song? And she was from New Zealand. And she said, my mom and dad played the song nonstop. And I know every note, every word, every chord. And it's my all-time favorite song.
Wow.
And that meant quite a lot to me, because my kids, when they get a hold of my music, they'll go through it and they'll say, well, I like that one. It might be Young Americans or a Stevie Wonder song or whatever. And it's a great feeling when someone of a totally different generation picks up on a musical track that's quite close to you and it's quite meaningful to you. But Lily, the barmaid from New Zealand, knew every single word of Young Americans.
Yeah. That's what fantastic. A coincidence. Incredible.
Yeah.
It's funny, Brian, because when Mike and I did a show of ourselves years ago to kind of introduce myself to the listeners, rather. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs I picked was Del Shannon, Runaway. And,
okay.
You know, and what I was saying to Mike was that I can still smell the vinyl when my dad would be putting it on the record player.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Because at that time, it was one of those big brown record players, you know, looked like a piece of furniture. And, you know, and the records were stacked up. And we didn't have that much money. So all the records would be there. And my dad bought this one, Del Shannon, Runaway. And I could smell it in my mind's eye. Or in my mind's nose.
I remember songs like that as well. Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash from New Year parties when I was a tiny boy, and they would play Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash songs. The working class people in Dundee singing about Americana.
That's 1950s
right. Americana. It's weird, but
you know, I've always asked myself if there was people in New York at the end of parties running a circle singing about I Belong to Glasgow. You know, because everybody in Glasgow was at a party at a bowling club, and they're all like, New York, New York.
Singing Patsy Cline's Crying.
Crying.
For some Johnny Cash song.
Yeah. Well, I've sang that a few times after Mike bought me a curry, Ring of Fire.
So Brian, so far your items are a Swiss Army knife, a bottle of Rose Rock handcrafted Scottish gin, a Canada Goose jacket. I'm surprised on your list. There's no shave brush. There's no razor. There's no soap. I figured
in the Catskill Mountains I would get very few visitors, so I could give my face a rest.
That is correct. Yeah, you could give it a couple days off. But I was curious. How did the opportunity to take the helm of executive shaving come about?
I knew off executive shaving. I knew who they were and how they worked. And it interested me, so I got in touch, made them an offer that they accepted. 6 weeks later, we had the business.
And what was it about that? I mean, so you had probably the opportunity, you could have maybe done anything. But so what was it about that captivated you, that you thought, yes, that this is something important? And
I knew it was a business that could grow. Male grooming, you know, it's still a growth business. Men do want to take care of their skin. They want to look better. So I knew there was an opportunity there. In terms of an investment, it's been a good investment. So, and I enjoy it. That's the thing. I do enjoy it.
Using a safety razor is like the most environmentally responsible, best way to go if you want to wet shave. And so this started me on this kind of journey, and thankfully, you know, your instructional videos and things on YouTube kind of led me down this path and into discovering this kind of a whole new world of wet shaving, where there's really cool artistic, you know, quality razor blades and shaving brushes, and there's almost like these artisan soaps. It's more sustainable, it's more respectful, and also I really appreciate, for what it's worth, on your website, you know, you pay a living wage. And
we pay more than in Scotland. There's a national minimum wage. You must pay above that, and the government here encourage you to pay the living wage, which is a step up from the minimum wage. But we pay a step up from the living wage, because without the employees there is no business.
Yeah,
you know. So I genuinely do try to be generous to them. And yeah, we give them good conditions. I think we do. We work them hard. You know, these people work really hard, but they're good people. We want to treat them the right way.
You are. Can I just say, I grew up, Brian, 5 minutes from your building.
No way. In Nitz Hill?
I grew up in Kenneth's Head.
Yeah.
Which is 5 minutes in a car away. Two minutes from Darnley. I grew up there.
Wow. Small world.
Yeah. I was a little tramp on Kenneth's Head.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's a very small world. I was actually, Mike told me that he'd had a conversation with you, and I looked it up and I was like, wow, it's in Nitz Hill. I went to Bellarmine Secondary just down the road. Brian, your next item is a very influential book, To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the book? And
I've read the book about 3 or 4 times, I think. Yeah,
right. So,
and watched the movie about 6 times.
Right. What is that? What is it about this book, this movie, that intrigues you?
I think I've always been interested in the Black Civil Rights Movement, and this book epitomizes what's good about America, the fight for social justice, the fight to make things right. And Atticus, despite the pressures around him from the white racist community that he lives in, this tiny little community, the white supremacists, Atticus sticks to his guns, represents the accused in court, actually loses the case, which is the sad bit of the film book. But Atticus is such a good guy. He stands up for what's right, and he's the good side of America. The side I'd love to see coming back, you know, the social justice side.
Yeah.
But right now it just seems so far away. But the whole book, it's an old-fashioned book. It's a bit naive at times as well, but you can't help but like the characters. Atticus, played by Gregory Peck, Scout, his daughter, Jem, the brother, Tom Robinson, the accused. It's just a book that, and a film that I can go back to any time and watch or read again. I love the book, start to finish.
Right. Excellent.
Very simplistic, but it's got a good message in there. You know, if you stand up for what you believe in, that's the right thing to do.
And you know, Brian, in America, the question in many people's lips is, have we moved on?
No.
And this year especially, with the killing of George Floyd and Breonna, the circumstances that happened.
Breonna Taylor.
I would argue not. And
no.
And that makes the book even more important, doesn't it?
It should be taught. It should be mandatory reading in every school. That in 1984 by George Orwell, which would have been my second book if I could take bring two books with me. But yeah, just it's just a good story, a great movie. But I remember being in Atlanta on business. This is about 15 years ago. And the guy that was showing me around his business I was interested in, he was a white guy, Italian-American. And he said, okay, Brian, you've got a day off tomorrow. What's your plans? And I said, in Atlanta, I think there's only two things, the Koch Museum and Martin Luther King. Huh. He said, yeah, I suppose. And I said, what's the best way to do the Martin Luther King experience? And he said, I don't know. And he'd lived in Atlanta for 55 years.
Sure.
He'd never interesting. Been. Interesting.
He'd sure. never been. I said, but have you been to the chapel? He says, no, it's downtown somewhere. He's very dismissive. You know, he didn't really want me to go. He said, oh, you'll find it. Just take the train and get to the centre of Atlanta and ask for directions. It's not far from the centre. And he'd never been. And I couldn't believe that he lived in Atlanta for 55 years and had never been to the chapel or the museum. It was bizarre, but...
It's interesting. My friend came over to visit me. My friend George came over to visit me for a couple of... a long weekend about two years ago, I think it was. And we went to Harlem. We went to a little jazz museum and we saw a lot of great stuff in the museum, you know. And then we walked all the way through Harlem and, you know, we wanted to see Cotton Club and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And you ask, I dare say if you ask some people in the area who lived in the area, of Harlem, they've never been there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I suppose there's things in Glasgow that I've never really actually paid much attention to that people would be really interested to see. And I think when you take things for granted, when you live in an area, you can go and see it anytime, but you actually don't end up seeing it at all.
You know? Yeah. But you would think the school, if you were a headmaster in Atlanta, you would think you'd put it on the curriculum that you take the kids. Maybe when they go to secondary school, big school, when they're about 12, 13, you would take them down there as a day trip to say, this is in your hometown. This is what happened. Here's the dangers of going too far to the right.
That's a travesty, isn't it?
It is. It's sad. But there you go.
I am quite confident.
One thing I learned. Sorry, mate, on you go.
Well, I am quite confident that there are some schools, I think, including the school that I teach at, they do teach To Kill a Mockingbird, I'm proud to say. And I do hear the students talking about it. And I think you're very observative and astute, Brian, about the state of America. It is a divided country. And I think that's described in To Kill a Mockingbird. It illustrates that there are these kind of two sides to America, these two halves, these two parts. And nowadays, it doesn't matter if it's the pandemic, where Americans can't agree on, you know, what's the best course of action. We have riots and protests, violence. There's inequity. It's pretty rough. And it is kind of a new thing. I mean, it ebbs and flows, but I was telling students just recently, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was approved, confirmed by the Senate, a vote of like 97-3 or something. Amy Coney Barrett was 52-48, a very clearly divided Senate. And this used to, for a time, it was sort of like a gentleman's thing. We need to fill a Supreme Court a Supreme Court justice seat. The president appoints someone who's qualified. The Senate consults with them. They question them. This person qualified, basically unanimous. You know, this is how the system works. And somehow we're getting away from that. But I hope, I pray that a change is going to come. And that's your final song, Brian. Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come.
I know. Just the opening line. I mean, that was written 55 years ago. We're talking about, has anything changed? No, it hasn't really. This is a civil rights song from the opening line. The opening line, I was born by a river, oh man, in this little tent. And he almost cries. You know, he's almost crying about the words, the lyrics. He feels every single note, every word. It pours out of his heart. Sam Cooke just absolutely nails this song. And I guess hundreds of singers have tried it and nobody nails it like Sam Cooke. It's just sublime.
I'd say the one that came close is Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin and an English girl, Rebecca, a girl from Liverpool. She won one of these talent contests. Can't remember her second name, but Rebecca. She was a mum of five, I think. But yeah, she got it as well. Aretha Franklin. Aretha does everything well, but for me...
I think Aretha Franklin had a relationship with Sam Cooke.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
I might be wrong in that, but I think she did. Sam Cooke, you're right. Nobody can beat that.
No, just listen to the word, the lyrics and the feeling. He means every single word he's pouring into that song. And he controls his emotion. He doesn't belt it out. The whole thing's very controlled, but you know he means it. You know he means every single word.
Just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm to die, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
That was A Change Is Gonna Come, Sam Cooke. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Brian Mulroney, and we're discussing the songs and items that he would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Brian, we've had a wonderful time having you on the show here, talking about the songs and items you would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. We have just one final question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take your coffee?
Black. Black and strong.
Good man.
A man good after man. Andy's heart.
Any particular, what kind of roast do you like, Brian?
I'll tell you exactly. It's Kenyan and it's number three strength out of five.
See, Mike, this guy knows his stuff. He doesn't put any of this flavored liquid in his.
I'm learning. I was a Bic Gillette man for a while. You know, now I got the Outlaw and the Big Jock. I was a Dunkin' Donuts cream and sugar guy for a while. Someday I'll be converted to the good stuff. Thanks again, Brian.
It's been good fun. Thank you. Hail, hail.
Hail, hail, man.
Hi, I'm Brian Mulroney, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC, Accra 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music and everyone at WGXC. Thanks.